Good to be with you on this morning. How many of you guys are happy for fall? Some of you guys are happy. Some of you guys want summer to continue. I get it. I do too. I want summer to continue. But fall is upon us, and it's football season. How many of you guys are happy for football? All right. You get to root for your favorite team. And if you're like me, you got to have favorite teams because I'm a Detroit Lions fan. So pray for my salvation. But it is good to be able to assemble here again. I just want to say thank you to my brother and my friend, Pastor Brian Bennett, for his years of service, not only to this community, but to the kingdom of God. And I know he made an important announcement last week, and I would be remiss without acknowledging, number one, his faithfulness in this season, especially here, is why God is taking him to another place. And I know for us, you know, we're losing him, or it appears that we're losing him, but we got to remember, this has always been about the kingdom. You know, what happens a lot of times in so many churches is that we get so attached to people until we fail to realize that it's never been about the local church. It's always been about the church. And so Brian, even though he's leaving us here at this local assembly, he's not leaving the kingdom of God. He's not leaving the church. God has reassigned him in a similar way in which God did with Paul and Barnabas when he said, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have. And sometimes it happens, and we don't even know when it's going to happen. But God knows, and we have to trust him enough to know that, number one, that God reigns, he sits on the throne, and because he has a greater work for him wherever God is taking him. So thank you, Pastor Brian, again, for your years of service and dedication here in this region. Well, we are studying the chapter of Matthew chapter 25, and it's a great chapter. It's a wonderful chapter. It is a chapter filled of parables. And last week, Brian talked about the parable of the talents and our responsibility and our stewardship to be able to not only receive what Jesus has given us, to be able to invest what we receive in the kingdom. And it's just by happenstance that I was going to preach last week and Pastor Brian was going to preach this week, but it was in God's divine order that he preached last week, because really when we're talking about stewardship and investing and kingdom impact, I think that was great for him to preach it along with the announcement that he gave. This week, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to look at the last parable that Jesus gives. And honestly, this is my favorite parable. Matthew chapter 25 is one of my favorite chapters. And so we get the opportunity to explore the last remaining verses of Matthew 25, starting at verse number 31. So hopefully you have a Bible. If you do, please turn to Matthew 25, verse 31. Jesus says this: "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. And then the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the internal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty? Or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And they will go away and into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Wow. This is the parable that is affectionately called the parable of the sheep and the goat. And it is a parable unlike any other. Because in this particular parable, what Jesus does is he talks about and he defines what it means to receive eternal life. How do you gain eternal life? Now, I don't know what prompted this discussion. I don't know what caused Jesus to go into this parable. Matthew doesn't go into great description of what was going on around him that would lead him to go into this parable. But we have this parable before us today, an understanding and a testament to what it is to gain eternal life. And what Jesus does is he talks about, he extracts, he points to the fact that in order for us to retain eternal life, there has to be the service for others. What we see coded in these verses here in Matthew chapter 25 is a recipe that gives us clarity of what it means and what it takes to be able to inherit eternal life. And this is important, right? This is important for us who are here, who are part of this communico sanctorum for a reason. All of us who are part of this communion of the saints. Because what Jesus does here is he shows us a blueprint. And so we all fit into one of these several categories. Number one, some of us, we are so self-centered that it's all about three individuals. Me, myself, and I. Right? And if there are others that we're, you know, concerned about, it's you know, loved ones, it's our, you know, moms, our dads, our siblings, our spouses, our close friends, it's those who are a part of our inner circle. And so there are some of us who live in these silos and these bubbles where we live our routine, mundane lives without any care about anybody else. We get up, we eat breakfast, we go to work, we come back home, we eat dinner, we watch television, we go to bed, and this is our routine every single day. with no regard, with no care, with no affection of what's going on around us. The whole world could be crashing around us. And as long as we get a paycheck, as long as we're able to pay our mortgage, as long as we're able to feed our families, we don't care what goes on around us. And so if this is you, Jesus has a word for you. And then there are some of us who are, we're so pious, we're so holy, that serving others is beneath us. Everybody else is wrong, but we got it right. Some of us are like the Pharisees, where we feel like, look, I don't have to serve anybody because I got my card with Jesus. And because I got my one-on-one card with Jesus, it doesn't matter what I do with anybody else. If this is you, Matthew 25 has a message for you. And for some of us, we would like to serve others, we just don't know how. Either because we don't know what God has called us to do to make an impact for his kingdom, or whether or not we feel like we have time, we live under this disposition, I would like to, but. And if this is you, Jesus has a word in this parable for you. And then there are some of us who serve. But sometimes we feel like our service is in vain. Sometimes we feel like no one cares. It's not making a difference. And if this is you, the parable of the sheep and the goat has a message for you. And in essence, what is this message? What is the message that Jesus is trying to get across to his audience? And this message reverberates with us today. Well, let me give you three messages that we see that we can extract from this parable. Message number one is that knowing Jesus does not get you into the kingdom. Let me repeat that. Knowing Jesus does not get you into the kingdom. Now, I know this is going to hurt somebody's feelings and somebody's going to go home crying, like, because you and Jesus, y'all on first name basis, y'all the best of buddies, and he comes and he sits at your bedside and you all have this great tight relationship. But let me tell you something. Knowing Jesus is not enough. Right? Even the demons know who he is and tremble at his name. What we see here in this parable is Jesus saying, depart from me. And there are individuals who are saying to Jesus, but Jesus, when did we see you? So obviously they're denoting that they know who he is. They just don't know the expectations out of him. Let me turn to Matthew chapter 7, and hopefully this will make it a little bit clearer, because sometimes we do understand that all we need to do is just get ourselves to church, and that will make it all right. No, it ain't. No, that will not make it all right. Matthew chapter 7, we just finished a series not too long ago related to this. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse number 21. And it reads, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, We prophesied in your name. We casted out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who are God's lawbreakers. Here it is, these individuals who say that they've had healing crusades. They packed out coliseums and arenas. They preached to the masses. They prophesied. They casted out demons. They performed many miracles. And Jesus will say to them, depart from me. And not just depart from me. I think the strongest element of this is not just to depart from me, because obviously that separation from Jesus, that's important for us to know. But the most important element to me that resonates with me is that Jesus says that I never knew you. They're using his name. So obviously, they know the power associated with the name of Jesus. They understand the awesomeness and the greatness of Jesus, but yet they still, despite the fact that they knew Jesus, Jesus still says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And you can even make an argument and say, well, aren't they serving in the kingdom by having these crusades? Aren't they serving in the kingdom by preaching and prophesying? What is the difference between this and what we see in Matthew chapter 25? And that is an excellent question. Unfortunately, I don't have the time to explore it. But for the purposes of this message here, Jesus is saying that knowing me, even using my name, is not enough to inherit eternal life. Second, Jesus is saying to us that our service to humanity is not a recommendation, it's a requirement. It's not a recommendation, it's a requirement. Jesus is not offering up possible, plausible solutions. He's not saying maybe if you think about it, maybe you should serve others. He's not saying, well, I guess it depends on the day of the week. He's saying serve. See, a call to be a Christian is a call to serve others. I can't claim to be a Christian if I don't have the willingness, nor the intent, nor the desire to serve others. Now, some of you guys are looking at me funny, like, what is he talking about? Pastor Brian, get him off the stage right now. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Starting at verse number 24, Luke 22, verse number 24. And then it says, then they began referring to the disciples to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. And Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you, it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I am among you as one who serves. If Jesus denotes himself as a servant, who do we think we are to say that we're greater than him? Who do do we think we are to say we are greater than serving others? Here it is, the disciples fighting amongst themselves on who was going to be the greatest, on who was going to sit at either Jesus' right hand or his left hand, who was going to be the most important of Jesus' disciple. And Jesus said, look, I know that you've seen what the world has said when it comes to the greatest, right? The greatest among those in the world are those individuals who sit in a seat of authority. These are the people who lord their authority over others. But he said, that's not the case when it comes to the kingdom. With the kingdom, those who are the greatest are those who are like me, those who are willing to serve. Jesus did not call us to be a Christian in order for us to be an ornament that is sitting there pretty and sitting there all sedity. Jesus has called each one of us to serve, to make an impact on our communities and our world. Turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, for those who need more convincing. John chapter 10, starting at John chapter 13, starting at verse 1. John chapter 13, starting at verse 1. Jesus says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world. And he returned to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested. You will never, ever wash my feet. Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Wow. See, what Jesus does here in this particular example is he demonstrates what it means to serve others. He demonstrates what it means, what our call is to serve the world, to impact our communities. And the message is if Jesus himself, as shown in the Gospels, if it is his desire, his will, his intent to serve others, and if we call ourselves this communion of saints, this community of Christians, if we call ourselves followers of Christ, then we have to serve others. It shouldn't require prompting. It shouldn't require Pastor Brian or Pastor Chad or Pastor Jarvis or Pastor Joel coming on stage to say, we need you. It should be encoded in us that it is our passion, it is our desire, it is our willingness to go out to serve others, if nothing else, because Jesus called us to. The third message that we can glean from what Jesus says in this parable is the message that whatever we do, We're doing it to Christ. Whatever act that we are using as our service, we are doing it to the Lord. Colossians 3 and 17 and Colossians 3 and 23, I'll just sum it up for you. It pretty much says that whatever we say and do, whether in word or in deed, we have to do it unto the Lord as if we are doing it for Him. And that's hard for many of us because sometimes we do what we do to be seen. We do what we do so folks can recognize us, so they can glorify us, so they can give us accolades and say, job well done. But what Jesus is saying here in this parable, that it's not about you being seen, because trust me, if you do it, I see it because you are doing it unto me. What are we doing our service for? What is the motivation behind why we serve? Are we serving so that we feel like we could get a good night's sleep? Or are we serving so we can make an impact to the world? What is our motivation? Jesus said that whatever you do, I don't care if there's an audience, I don't care if people are around you, but whatever you do, just know this, that I am there, that I see it. As the praise team comes up, I'm reminded of Dr. King's last sermon. The drum major instinct. And in the drum major instinct, Dr. King talked about Luke chapter 22. He talked about who is the greatest in the kingdom. And he says these powerful words that I think resonate with us today. And of course, it comes from one of the greatest servants that we've seen in human history. And he says this: if you desire to be important, wonderful. If you desire to be recognized, wonderful. If you desire to be great, wonderful. But recognize this, that he who is the greatest must be the servant. And by this new definition, it means this, that everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subjects and verbs agree to serve. You don't have to know about Plato or Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know about Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. You don't have to know about the second theory of thermodynamics to serve. You just need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. So Jesus gives us two paths for us to follow. It's either the path that leads to eternal damnation, where we are self-centered, we're only thinking about ourselves and those who are around us, how we're going to survive, how we're going to make it. Or it's the path, Lord, I will go to serve your people. I will go to make a difference. The challenge for us today, which one will we choose? Which path will we follow? But I pray that you will say with these affirming words, the same words that Joshua said long ago, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, we sometimes get caught up in our own emotions, in our own feelings, in our own insecurities, and we seek our own pathways and not yours. We pray that this message will help us to transform the way we think, that our lives no longer are not to ourselves, but our lives are to serve your people. Our lives are to make a difference in somebody else. We seek not to live our own lives to ourselves and our own family members, but we seek now to serve others. Use us as your vessels. It is in Jesus' name we ask and we pray.